Well, next we have Tony Toast, and I just want to say a word for Tony. Tony runs a reading series at the Open Eye Cafe, and the Open Eye Cafe has contributed coffee to us today, so we should be very grateful to them. But his reading series has an interesting poetry, and I hope you just introduce your series when you come up. Just okay. tell the crowd. And anyway, here we have Tony Toast. Thank you.
Howdy. Thanks. So right over there is the Open Eye Cafe where I work at this morning, myself and Brian. And every month, like last Tuesday, we have two people read, try to get like a younger person or, a mix from people like, you know, different stages or whatever, you know, but it's kind of fun. And afterwards, we always have a party over at Mealy's house. And so, you know, everybody here invited. June 22nd, we have the next one. Heather McIntyre and Dan Abergotti will be reading, and it'll be really good. And then we can hang out and hang out afterwards. Okay. Oh, June 22nd at 8 p.m. Yeah. And also, yeah, I'm sure plug Ken Rumble does a great reading series as well. That's going to pick up soon at the International. So, you know, there's cool stuff going on too. Okay, so I'm going to read some stuff from my little book. And this first one, they're mostly not titled, but this one is. It's called The Mid to Late 90s, because I thought that was a funny title. The Mid to Late 90s. Satisfaction was imposed upon every American. Sunday morning was a nail to the temple. They built a forest in the Oval Office, and I lost my virginity in the shadows. The big fish was reeled in on Main Street. We threw it up. My dad fell off the wagon, and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. Trail of the century. The true umbrella was lost. There's nothing behind the curtain except some great tits and a few thousand skulls. My mom held a snake before my window, and I drew the picture. There's the comedian's ass, the letter C. Dad had a black rag for a lung. One evening before nightfall, the cameraman stepped before the cameras. Each told one true story. Only the magazines remembered this. We could not remember a thing. It was a new universe every week, astral suburbs. My parents and I took turns singing ourselves to sleep. We got a better insulation for the house, a bigger fridge. We left our knives at the water's edge. Dad kept an extra knife at home. My neighbor got married in a torn skirt, and the newspapers grew dark with wisdom. Two out of three Americans believed they were the eighth wonder of the world. The press did not fear God, only the necessity of one. I was afraid of the shirt my mother wanted me to wear. Yoko forgave us. We forgave her. It was our White Album, a long, lazy sip as the new guard finds the switch. And here's another one that doesn't have a title. For all the talk of shadows, we are mostly blood, the dead hostage tells me. He has forgiven the guerrillas who captured him and held him for 2 years before his execution in front of a video camera. His theory, when something is forgiven, it means that that thing is disposed of, that it no longer matters. The dead hostage tells me that he was held with another man in a shack without running water or electricity. He felt less isolated after the other man died, quietly, in his sleep, 6 months before he himself would die. He says, quote, "Once alone in nature, no one spoke to me, nothing else had a will of its own, and my identity was limited only to what I could perceive. I did not have to imagine my identity, for it was visible, it had color, and made noises all through the night." End quote. He means the ferns and the clouds that were visible from the shack, the rats that snuck into the shack, the spirituals he hummed, even the gorillas off in the distance, even the heat. All of this was his identity. It was showing itself to me, he says, like an animal brushing against your face at night. He tells me that he was fed once a day, but the hunger that he felt was also a part of his identity. A physicality so distinct that it had a spiritual effect. Like what happens to an incredibly tall man, he says, or a woman born with flippers. He embraced his hunger to such a degree that he could still feel it now that he was deceased. To not carry it with me, he says, would be like the ghost of Betty Davis tearing out its eyes. There's a lot of violent stuff in here. I'm not a violent person. But poetry is a good way to kind of embrace your inner neoconservative. Okay, here's a poem. We talked about going to church. I'm too old to daydream about trains, I said, and I meant simply that I'm too old. She read the newspaper quietly, and I said in a serious voice, there is so much trouble in the world. She unbuttoned her shirt and, through her apparatus, said, I have dreamed of standing guard with you near a river, shining our flashlights on those who wash upon the shore. I never liked to discuss these things, our dreams and her speaking through a machine, but now I feel that I must. We talked, and, parentheses, bruises had been sprouting on our legs like light green dandelions, end parentheses. A word would come through the machine in a manner that surprised us both. We lay on the couch together and slept so we could wake and tell each other our dreams. She said the machine made the dreams sound different, like they were no longer hers. This made her happy because it made difficult things easier to talk about, such as having an affair in a dream, running behind a pickup and jumping into bed to be with another lover. She said it was strange because she could still feel me. When I say feel, I mean see. She said it was strange because she could still see me. It felt like going down the new I-60, she said, and seeing the old Highway 60 still over there on the right-hand side with no one driving on it. I said maybe I was driving the truck, and she started into a coughing spell, causing the machine to vibrate, and when the machine went, oh, oh, through its speakers, I kept one hand on it as I leaned over to kiss her lips. I forgot the terminology the physician used to describe how the machine works, but at one point he compared the human voice to a magnet. Later, he compared it to a blizzard. When he did this, he spoke through the machine for emphasis. This still makes me laugh. And thank you. Yeah, feel free to applaud whenever you want after a good metaphor, you know. Thanks. Good banter, you know, just bring it on. I've been up since like, yeah, that's right. Thank you, Patrick. Okay, I'll read two more. And they're all so good. That's okay. This one's about my beard. My beard is a bridge between my past and my face. I have shaved with a supreme carelessness. My beard of sugar is in the rain, my beard of regrets. There is a rumor of a beard that leans towards the west. California is flooded in beards. As a child, I drew a beard on my face with red ink, and this new beard was transposed upon a pillow. The seas are red with beards. California, the brief story of a whale's beard. She says my beard tickles her lips. She slips a valentine into my mouth, my beard of red, her hair of ashes, not flames, her valentine, the forced laughter of the bearded lady, or the constant quiet of her only son. I will shave quickly, at my leisure, at night, under a tree. The rumor of an internal beard. The moon is the face of madness. It has no beard. My false beard is drained of color as I dream. There is a beard of untapped potential on the face of the dead assassin. The beard of Joseph Stalin is now twice the size of Russia. And I have a beard of false confessions that I tuck into my shirt at night. Every beard has its thorn. Bury your heads in the beard of sorrow, people. I shall sink my teeth into the beard of sorrow's past. Quote, they will bury us next to our beards, end quote. My Lord has a beard that goes all the way to his billy. Jeez. My Lord has a beard that goes all the way to his belly. A ridiculous beard, and mine's just like it. Thank you, thank you. And here's the last one. As I flew through the windshield, I knew being nice did not always work like magic. Listen to this, Agnes. Right now, my autobiography is well hid. I can't find it. The furniture's been moved. Jose Medina says it was a no-passing zone and that my only hope is to be reached immediately. Prayers are long goodbyes slash greetings from a casino slash a way to go touching. As I flew through the blank comedy, I knew mathematical beauty. I can get away with going through a windshield because windows bring symmetry. Put your hand on a window and you get to know the real world. Put your hand through a window and you study the real world. Put your head on my shoulder. Suppose that instead of stitching all five senses together along their edges, we landed in West Memphis with a month of bad weather and brown carpet on our floors. Agnes, the river is looking for interns, and I can feel your tongue in my ear. When we left Europe, there were graves to be dug, and we were ravenous for an entire night. Like corpses who must rise and walk until they find a bed that fits, on the winter road we contemplated weakness. As I flew through the windshield, I saw moths pinned, and I saw moths in white plastic buckets hunting for light. Intimacy arrives with practice. When I landed in the field, the sound was half water. As I gaze at the soldiers drinking on the rooftop, it feels like a different century. Jose Medina is correct in his disdain. The doctors are absolutely modern. They are small children lost and wandering in their coffins. When the soldiers started shooting dogs in the streets, I knew we were on the road again. As I flew through the lustrous night, I knew I was a gambler. If the sky is so wonderful, why must it hold its summits behind barbed wire? How much music can that air take? How do you like my driving? Agnes, when we spent that summer in your back seat, your hands were wise in their violence, your lips wise as whips. Like assassins, the doctors are perfectly modern and have no further questions. As I flew through the windshield, I knew. Will we gather at the bottom of the lake, wrapped in white plastic, hunting for light? The field was wet and familiar. Strange bird, I hear you call me in your sleep. I am in the woods already, like a wolf, like an assassin kneeling in the flowers. Thanks.